May I speak in the name of the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The Trinity Sunday Sermon, dreaded by preachers and congregations alike. God is one, of one substance. God is three, three persons. God is unity, but God is Trinity. How do we understand this? How do we imagine it? And how do we explain it? In a loosely translated extract from a creed, author unknown, original language Latin, which is thought to have originated in Gaul in the late 5th or early 6th century CE, I let the church fathers have the first word. In the extract, we find what is still the best description of the relationship between the persons of the Trinity around. The pattern throughout is that there is one God in three persons. Three persons of one substance who are co-equal and co-eternal. Whosoever shall be saved, before all things, it is necessary that she or he hold the Catholic, that is in the sense of the universal, faith. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead is of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three lords, but one Lord. For as we are compelled by Christian truth to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so also are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there are three gods or three lords. Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal, so that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. She or he, therefore, that will be saved, let him, her, in this way, think of the Trinity. Who recognized this? Could we have a show of hands? I think I'm horrified. It's the beginning of the Athanasian Creed, the third creed of the Western Church. And it's a masterpiece of Augustinian theology, which states the mystery of the Holy Trinity. The mystery which is summed up in the name, unity, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, diversity, in which we acknowledge that the three are one, and the one is three. I suspect, despite many attempts to produce understandable, non-heretical analogies of the triune relationship, we all have our own ways of imagining the working relationship between the persons of the Trinity. I have a fondness for the older representations, such as the Trinitarian knot, which is depicted in our east window, which is behind me, with the name of Christ in the centre, which research told me was popular in the early British church, or the shield trinity, which some of you may know as a Scutum Fidei, which summarises the extract I've just read. And there's a representation of this in your service books, and another one appears in this week's reflection. And there are others, including the fleur-de-lis, the clover leaf, three states of water, and various methods of cooking and serving potatoes. All have their problems, but all may be useful as long as we don't fall into the trap of emphasizing the one at the expense of the three, which is modalism, or emphasize the three at the expense of the one, which is tritheism. Both can be a problem, because though we know that all three persons of the Trinity are involved in all God's acts, the Father, through the Son, in the power of the Spirit, the appropriateness, and that's a theological term, of attributing the distinct acts to different persons, the Father creates, the Son redeems, the Spirit sustains, can lead us to believe either that the three are differing modes or facets of the one, or that the three are completely distinct, each with a separate bit of the substance of the Godhead, three gods. Some people, however, look for what are referred to as traces of the Trinity in actions, especially the creative act. Dorothy Sayers, who is better known for her detective stories, examines the creative mind, which for her provided an analogy of the Trinity. She has three creatives: the creative idea, which objectively sees and assesses the whole work as one from beginning to end, and this is her image of the Father; the creative energy, which is begotten by this power and works out the idea in time from the beginning to its end, and that is her image of the Word, the incarnate Son; and the creative power, the image of the Spirit, which is the meaning of the work and the response in others. She explores this fully in her book, The Mind of the Maker, which was published in 1941, but she works it out practically in one of her detective stories, Murder Must Advertise, published in 1933, when she gives a lively description of a marketing campaign, which actually is for selling cigarettes, so we don't mention it these days, from its inception to its completion. Now, most of us are not novelists, theologians, or poets, though we have at least one artist here today. But I know that a number of us have at one time or another given lectures. And personally, I found that I could relate her Trinitarian process to writing professional presentations. First, I'd gather data, read around, if necessary, and unconsciously, or more often unconsciously, assemble results, which is the creative idea. Then I'd do something practical, and while working out what I was actually going to say, which is the creative energy, And finally, I would draft tables and charts which targeted the particular audience, and then I would actually write the lecture around the charts and the slides, which is the idea, but targeting a particular audience. Now, today, after this service, we have the Amnesty, which is hosted by Amnesty International. And perhaps we can look for traces of Sayers Trinity in the work of Amnesty. And all this following information came from her website, their website. First, there was the creative idea, a campaign for justice, protecting people by defending their right to freedom, truth, and dignity. Second, there was the creative energy. How was this idea to be worked out? By using ordinary people from across the world who would stand up for humanity and human rights, who were politically independent, not afraid of tackling difficult cases, did their research thoroughly. And these are the people who drive the work forward and are in it for the long haul. And finally, the creative power, the meaning of the work, the response in others. Now, the meaning of the work is found in the idea, which is using truth, the truth, meticulously researched to achieve through justice, freedom, and dignity for all. And the response in others? Some will respond with dislike, hatred, stonewalling. Others with gratitude. And still others will donate money or join in their campaigns. Now, on this Trinity Sunday, I hope that you are all still awake, and I have given you some ideas about how you might think of the triune God, both in the abstract, in the words of the Athanasian Creed, and as the life force which informs our day-to-day actions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.